Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sean McPhillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can also find all of his weekly articles at playlikeajet.com. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could also find our show wherever you find your podcasts at Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and Amazon. And you can also find us at SportsWire Radio at sportsanarium.com/player. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Price, at ThomasPrice2017, for all the scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, what's up? Big difference from week one to week two.
Yeah, big difference. I think a lot of, if any Jets fan listened to our podcast last week, you heard me wax poetically about the Cowboys. I did think that they were one of the better teams in the NFL, and I did have a lot of respect for that offense and offensive line. But I did not see them stymieing the Jets offensive line the way they did. They really underperformed. I think it was a brilliant game plan offensively, getting the ball out of Dak's hand, and then kind of staggering tempo. It's one of those small things that you don't hear about a lot on offense in the NFL, where they go to the line quickly, but sometimes they don't snap the ball on time. Then they go to the line quickly and they snap the ball right then, and then they kind of stagger it so that you don't really kind of, you can't get a line on when they're going to snap the ball, you know? So the aggression that you're using to kind of monitor their snap and kind of read it and, get the offensive line on his heels, that wasn't working. Then also them kind of calling the kind of plays they were calling, where they just kept changing their attack or what they were attacking. It was they were using CeeDee Lamb inside, which is something they wanted to do, and that's what they do most of the time. But I think when MC3 or MC2, Michael Carter, our slot receiver, went down with the elbow issue, I think they turned it up a notch. And they kind of took advantage of that when they did that, and they just went on a flow. And because the Jets offense couldn't get off the floor, it kind of exacerbated it. I think another issue again was the time of possession. You know, I think they definitely did not want Zach Wilson and the Jets offense to have any sense of rhythm. And they were doing that on offense with the Jets defense, trying to take the rhythm away from the Jets defense. And they were doing that on offense the same way, where they were, 42, trying to do it.
42 minutes. 42 minutes, Dallas held the ball.
Yeah.
Our defense.
Yeah, I mean,
off the field.
Yeah, brilliant game planning. Offensive line played a hell of a game for the Cowboys. Quinnen Williams is Quinnen Williams, and even in on a play in a on an offensive line that's basically one of the best in the NFL, he will make his plays, and he did. But unfortunately, I think the game plan and everything I said before, with the staggering of game of calls and everything, I think that kind of also helped. I think another thing that we have to acknowledge is the bull rush by what's his name, man? Defensive tackle slash edge player that for some reason right now I can't get his name.
Parsons?
No, for the Jets.
Oh.
What they called was John Franklin Myers.
Oh, okay.
They called those rough in the passer, where the offensive lineman basically pulled him into Dak, and they called that. That was an egregious call, man. That was ridiculous. I could not believe that.
The NFL admitted today that it was the wrong call.
Yeah. What does that help now?
Right. Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
What does that help now? No, nothing. Exactly. So any little momentum the Jets had on defense or offense were they were robbed of it by different things that happened. And I gotta speak to the Jets fans because I came out and I kind of, you know, patted them on the back last week and kind of really said, you know, called them. I was like, listen, the fact that they stayed behind after Aaron Rodgers went down and they kind of wheeled the team to victory, in my opinion, that because, I mean, even over television, you could tell how deafening it was at MetLife Stadium. So I was really happy with the way it went down there. But I can't move on from this conversation without calling out some of our fans, man. I understand feeling down because I felt down. I understand trying to call on, you know, understand trying to chase away the ghosts of the past, which unfortunately, because of our history as a fan base, always, you know, rears its ugly head, you know, when stuff like what happened. But if we put everything on in context, please, and pay attention to what it is, we have to take into consideration that is, you know, it's not the end of the world, and the team is not done, the season's not over, and boo-hoo and all that crap need to stop. It's 2 games into the season. Holy crap. There's teams in the NFL that are 0-2. Come on. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Exactly. I agree. It's, you know, and I think Salah said this week they're not going to make any major changes, no changes to the offensive line. And I think we were kind of talking about it a little bit on before that, you know, you got to remember, you got Dwayne Brown just coming back from his injury for week one, right? So he had no camp, basically. So that was like his first game he played. So I think they're going to give him a few weeks before they start saying, okay, he's done, you know? So I think it's a matter of, you know, giving the guy a few weeks and giving the rest of the offensive line to gel a little bit. Because we were so
I agree.
Yeah, like, let's see if they could gel.
There's one player that, in my opinion, I really don't care if they gel or not because I just keep seeing the same thing over and over again. and it's Tomlinson. I don't get it. Don't, like, if you watch his plays, run game, not bad. Kind of average, above average here and there sometimes. You know, there's a couple whiffs here and there. So, you know, I can't even say that he's above average, but he's about an average blocker. There's some good plays. Pass protection? Oh, my God. So bad, man. So bad.
What happened to him? Dead. How do you go from
no idea
to below average? I could see, okay, he was playing next to the greatest left tackle, right? Wasn't he playing next to Williams?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so maybe, all right, so maybe his stock went up a little bit playing next to him, right? Okay, I get that. But you can't go from playing as a Pro Bowl level to garbage. You know, there's got to be at least be average in both, right? I mean, how is it, did Williams make that big of a difference on his play, you think?
I think we have to consider that him playing on a better line helps, because I think McGovern is a liability. I think he does make certain plays. Of course, I think athletically he's not the dude that he used to be. And in a scheme where athleticism is called for, I think he lacks on that. I think he doesn't have the anchor he used to have. So when you lose that step in playing offensive line, in my opinion, one of the first things I see that go a lot is their technique. Because when you know you don't have the same kind of strength and the same, you know, I don't know if it's the same. I don't. If it's almost like the belief in your technique, I don't get it. It's like, it's almost like your technique start breaking down. I saw a lot of that for him, you know. So his technique is just breaking down. Now, The thing with him is, and I'll just clarify one thing, that this is all from my opinion. Okay, so I'm just telling you how I see it. Tippmann is not ready to play center for the Jets. I was corrected by Andrew Golden. When people tell me something, especially people I respect that know more than I do, I like to go and research what they say to find the truth of what it is, you know. And I trust Andrew Golden for what he says, but when he pointed me in a way, in a place to go look, and I went to look, and what I found was, yeah, you're going to be asking a guy that has very limited knowledge of how an offense works in the NFL to command an offensive line. Right now, I don't know if he's ready. Now, that could change because we're not privy to his training and what he's doing at the Jets facility and what the offensive line coaches are monitoring. So he might not be that far away. And they're just waiting for him to catch a few things. I think one of the things he struggled with in college was snapping the ball. And you saw that a little bit in the offseason where he kind of a couple wild snaps. Right. But again, like I said, he's just not ready. So that's not the answer. So people that are drawing up board saying, and then the whole thing about removing AVT from guard, please, guys. As a guard, AVT is an elite level player. Yes, yes, yes. He could play tackle. On if it came to it and we didn't have a choice to move him to tackle, yeah, he could do it. But if we have guys that could man that man tackle, we do not need to remove our elite guard into tackle. It just does not make any sense. Let him play elite guard, because guess what? The better the interior of the offensive line is, it lends itself to a better overall performance, in my opinion. I mean, I know people talk about tackles more than they talk about the interior offensive line. So, in my opinion, though, that's the guts of the line. And if the guts ain't working, I don't think anything works. So,
you're learning that as we see. Because it just isn't working, right?
Yes, it's basically. And like I said, and as bad as Tomlinson has played, looking at it, I just don't think that it's something that's fixable now. I think it gradually, if the right moves are made, it could, you know, get better. Because, you know, there's not a lot of really good offensive line in offensive lines in the NFL. They're just not. Everybody's like, well, take this guy and just plug him in. And take that guy and plug him in. Bro, if all these teams that have subpar offensive linemen could do that, that's what they would have done. And nobody's doing it. There's a reason for it. Because there's not this gold mine out there that you could just go grab and like input into your line and your line is fine. This is just not how it is now.
But this is probably why they're not changing. They're not making any changes to the offensive line, because these guys have to gel. Like, this is our five.
Yep.
They have to gel, because, and if they don't, listen, and getting back to the game real quick.
Yes, sir.
Even if you put Aaron Rodgers back there instead of Zach Wilson, because everybody wanted to get on Zach Wilson. I get it. He didn't play good. But you know what? Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have played that good either behind that offensive line of how bad they played. He would have kept
I disagree.
No, but
I disagree.
I think he would have kept us in the game, but I don't think we would have won. I think it would have been a lot lower scoring game, and he would have moved the ball a little bit, but that offense.
That would change everything. If the Jets were able to have drives where they could sit the offensive, that Cowboy offense, if they could have spent time sitting on the sideline instead of being in the game, that would change the game drastically. And that would give the Jets a bigger shot at having a chance later in the game,
yeah,
than trying to push the ball downfield and getting intercepted. I think a player like Rodgers poses an incredible threat on an aggressive defense. When you're aggressive like they are, you see how Zach had that one long touchdown?
Yeah.
Trust me when I tell you that Zach had one. How many you think Rodgers would have had? I'm not saying a touchdown, but he would have thrown a few bombs, because I'm telling you, he would have seen it before they did it. He would have understood what was going on. He would have been able to anticipate that. A lot of the times when they were playing one-on-one outside on Garrett was, bro, with a quarterback that has played 18 years in the NFL, you think you would do that and play us and lean your safety all the way away from him? Hell no. You're not doing that.
But you
the
know
level of aggression that the Cowboys displayed on defense was because they knew that Zach Wilson didn't pose a threat. I'm telling you. So that changes the game drastically, incredibly drastically. And the thing, and we have to acknowledge, is that is the reason why teams play the Jets the way they do when they don't have a quarterback. They could do all the crazy stuff they're doing because they do not believe that Zach Wilson could make them pay. I'm telling you. So you think you will make all these crazy stuff, coverages and stuff like that, with a player that could read that, anticipate what you're going to do and make you pay every time? No, you're not going to do it. So again, I'm nothing to take away from what the Cowboys did, man, because again, I said it before and I say it again. Cream of the crop in the NFL right now. And I said it even before the season started. But a lot of what they did was based on the fact that the quarterback is not someone that they think could burn them. And yeah, he did it one time, but even the ones where he was running, and getting first downs and getting long yardage running, he is seeing these things on a minor level compared to what a player that had the experience to do, what he would force them into and force them out of, because they don't have a choice but to, because he knows all these coverages and everything that they're doing, and he would anticipate a lot of this stuff. That would change the game, you know? So shouts out to the Cowboys, great defense. Listen, that number 11, sheesh, that kid is a freaking problem. But they played their game plan after Aaron Rodgers, after they knew Aaron Rodgers went down and Zach Wilson was going to be the quarterback. They were able to come in and do what they did because they knew that's what, you know, they knew they could get away with it. That's all.
For me, I think they got to start simplifying the offense for Zach Wilson. Then they have to, it has to be different for him compared to Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, that's a great point. What you said, the second line is what you said, is everything.
Right.
It's not simplifying the offense. It's making the offense Zach's. Because Zach is not a rookie anymore. And let's be real, I know that people will make fun of this comment, but Zach is knowledgeable enough as a football player to run an offense. He's a freaking NFL quarterback. Stop it. He understands the football. He reads defense. He all that stuff. The knowing stuff and being able to actually do it on the field is what separates the great and good quarterbacks from the average and below average guys. As simple as that.
But I think that's why they got to simplify it for him. Like, I think less reads would help him. No.
No, because that's what's going on now. Everybody's sitting on the less reads. The short throws, because they're like, this is what you do to a quarterback that does not read complicated defenses. You simplify, shorten stuff up, and let him make the nice small completions. Everybody's sitting on the line of scrimmage. Everybody's sitting there waiting for the short screens and the bubble routes and all that stuff, because they're like, hey, what else are you going to throw? Throw a complicated, you know,
yeah, but he
in and out, you know, complicated route, like a even smash concepts, which are completely simple. If you say for concepts like something like a China concept or whatever, these things are a little more complicated. But the Smash concept is a very simple concept, you know. But teams could bait you into throwing in an interception into a Smash concept if you don't know what the coverage is. So simplifying this stuff, it's kind of a. I'm not saying that you're wrong completely. But to me, I think after these years that Zach has been in the NFL, I think the offense needs to stay. I think what they need is to be able to use what he has best, what he does best. And what the kid has a quick release. The kid has a hell of an arm, and he is athletic. What can I do with that? And call plays that basically boost these things and make these things dynamic. That I think that's what the game plan should be. I don't think they need to make it, you know, baby NFL, you know, game plan, because teams are just going to eat that alive. And Zach has shown that he could read defenses. He made throws against the Bills that and read defenses. He could do that, you know. The interceptions, yeah, he's had a couple bad interceptions this year. Fine. That shit will happen. That will happen. Excuse my language. But for me, overall, when you watch the way this kid has played, you can't tell me he's not a different quarterback. He is. He is a different quarterback. But you're asking him to, after you've gone down two scores, you're asking him to beat a defense. That's an elite level defense. Not going to happen. Because the smallest mistake he makes, they will make him pay. And that's what happened.
Yeah. No. And until he beats them, they're gonna do this.
Yep. True.
And that's where I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not saying he can't do it, but he hasn't shown that he could.
So no, he hasn't. You're right.
Right.
You're
right. But for me, I would keep it simple in the early on, at least to get his feet wet. Even though his feet should be wet by now, right? Third season, you should be. Like you said, you should be an NFL quarterback by now. But
I don't think he has a problem reading defenses. The interceptions he makes are just bad. They're not even, oh, he made a mistake. So he goes from playing sound football, right? Like in the game, almost every throw that Zach Wilson made in that Monday night game was pretty good sound football throws, right? Taking what the defense gave him, right? And even on that third down to Garrett Wilson, throwing that back shoulder into a corner route, understanding that the corner route wasn't really there to throw the way you had to throw it. So you had to throw inside and that's understanding leverage. That's complicated. The fact that he did that, the throw that he made, waiting for the second or third window when Lazard was on that crossing route, that is high level quarterbacking. So if he could do these things, you're gonna tell me that you're just gonna throw like really, you know, little simple things to him when he's on that level? No, you want to push that level. You want him to keep picking from that tree, because that's where his bread and butter will be. Because the kid, the arm, the athleticism, if you could build on that, you have a pretty decent NFL quarterback. But if you're going to baby it and you don't feed the bigger picture, in my opinion, then you're kind of holding him back. You know, you can't play scared with that kid. You just can't, man. In my opinion, it is what it is. Let him play football. But find out the plays that make him excited. Find out the plays that make him want to play quarterback and give him those. Let him make the reads. Let him, because he, bro, I will tell you, I 100% believe that Zach Wilson, there's nothing he doesn't understand about this. But the problem is being able to implement that stuff takes time. You know, you don't just get to be Aaron Rodgers overnight. It takes time.
Season three for him. So you want him to be at least an average quarterback by now.
Yeah, but you think about what. But you listen. If this kid didn't go through what he went through last year, and he had more of a calming situation where the line was great and the offensive talent was there and everything was good. And you know, he didn't go through everything he went through last year. I would completely agree with you. But this is a new kid. They basically broke him down and built him back up. So you gotta give him a little bit of leeway here. And please don't kill me for saying it. It's just what it is. I'm not saying let him run amok, but you gotta give him a little leeway. But because I think he's shown growth. I think the fact that he has a higher percentage of accuracy and completion percentage in short throws this year is interesting to me, because this dude couldn't complete a freaking wheel route.
Right.
Or just a throw to the flat. And he's done it multiple times, not even with one. Oops, not one. So there is growth there. I don't think I take what I take from the Cowboys game. The Cowboys are an incredible team. But I just don't think this speaks to what this Jets team is. I think what we saw in the off, I think what we've been happy about, what we spent all this time celebrating in the offseason about this team, and it's not just about Aaron Rodgers, but I think this team is a real team. I think they're real. I think playing the Cowboys, like you, when you play an elite team, that's what happens. That's just what happens, man. You know, a few things just shake through.
Yeah.
What's that?
So I think to get blown out shouldn't be what happens, because the Jets should be an elite team, right?
Well, you have to arrive at that too first, right?
Well,
that's the thing. Right. And that is why I mentioned, one of the first things I mentioned was the disappointment on the defensive line. I think the fact that they were on Inside the NFL where there was audio of him saying you could stand back here and do whatever you want. I think if anything, I think we need to have a conversation with the defensive line. You know what I mean? Hey, big bad uglies, you know, you take over. You're going to murder. You're going to do kill. You're going to. Nope. Nobody showed up. You guys were quiet as hell. I mean, I can't say nobody, because Quinnen did his thing.
Yeah, they had to back.
And JFM was pretty good. But, hello. Where were these other guys? You know what I mean? And that's
300. Oh, no. 255, two touchdowns. And we know what CeeDee Lamb did.
Yeah.
11, and 43, and
this is the one of the things, man. Listen, as much as this is controversial comments, right? That's one of my controversial comments, will be that people keep talking about Dak Prescott like he's some kind of bum. Dak Prescott is a very good NFL quarterback. If you do not take away the things that he likes the most early in a game and you let him go in rhythm, throw the ball, he's going to split your wig. You know why? Because he's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Yes, he hasn't become Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady yet, but not a lot of people become those. Some guys just become guys. And for now, he's just a guy. But guess what? That's the same guy that threw for almost, 50 touchdowns and almost 5,000 yards a couple years ago? And you're telling me he's a bum? Come on, man. Come on. You could say, if you want to have the conversation about his playoff games, and he hasn't been able to amass a good playoff game, hey, fine. That's a great conversation. But don't call this kid a bum, man.
No, he's not a bum. I would say he's a pretty good quarterback. He's not elite. I'm not.
No, he's not. Elite is reserved for very few guys, man.
But he's a pretty good.
The guys player. I mentioned, that they're elite. He's not. He's not there yet.
He's pretty good. And I don't know if he'll ever get to that point. I'll be honest, because he's already 30. You know what I mean? He's already at
I'm not going to call this kid
old, but I'm just saying you've already been in the league, 7 years? Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is 8th season, so you're in the 8th season. If you're not elite yet, you're probably not going to be elite.
But part of I beg to differ. because all the players that I mentioned, right? You know who I always say? You remember how long it took for Drew Brees to become Drew Brees?
Well, yeah.
The dangerous Drew Brees. The dangerous Drew Brees. The one you knew that would throw for 400 and some yards and four touchdowns on your head. He wasn't built in 7 years.
Yeah, but he also got hurt. But he also got hurt early on, if you remember.
I understand, but he still wasn't that guy.
Yeah, I remember. He was early on. And then look who he ended up being his offensive coordinator.
Right.
Right. That helps a lot too.
That does. But you have to still go out there and do it. And right. The fact that he did it for all these years the way he did it, that's what makes him that marksman, that dangerous quarterback, that one of the elite quarterbacks. You know what I mean? And all of them did it in their own way at their own time. But they arrived at a level that, you know, we don't see regular players play. And Dak Prescott cannot be measured by that because those guys are few and far between, you know? And that's the problem as fans that we do, man. We just forget that these guys brought their game to a level and we're like, well, you know, he hasn't done this and he hasn't done that. Well, only a few guys get to do those things. That's just it, what it is. And you're right. He might never become one of the elite, but you cannot say this guy is not a good quarterback. So the fact that he could tear us apart on a second game of a season, to me, that's not far-fetched at all. I wasn't completely surprised that Dak tore us apart and scored touchdowns and was able to get, you know, CeeDee Lamb for 100 and something yards. No, I'm not surprised at all.
I'm surprised at that because our defense should be better than that. Against elite offenses, If you're going to be a top three defense, and I'm still top three, I'm not even getting to what they said.
Right? I'm getting to what DJ said. Which we had the whole conversation about.
I'm not even going to get into that because, okay, whatever. You want to say what you want to say. But this team, regardless of what he said, should be a top three defense. And if you're a top three defense, you got to do better than what they did.
Agreed. That's why I told you. Call the defensive line to the mat. And these guys underperformed.
Right. They also had the refs against them too, right? A couple of bad calls.
Agreed.
Changed a lot of things. So I get all that. And that's why I'm not saying, oh, they're done. They're going to bounce back this week, right? And we could start talking about the Patriots because if they don't bounce back this week, then you could start questioning them. But I guarantee you they're going to bounce back this week against the Patriots. There's no way the Patriots are scoring 30 points against this defense. No way.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a different, yeah. If I think the attitude that Jets fans are having now about not all, but some are having about what happened to the Jets in Dallas, I think that should be reserved for if that would happen against a team like the Patriots.
Yeah.
If the Patriots did to the Jets what the Cowboys did, then I would fret. What the Cowboys, Chris and I had a whole conversation about what DJ Reed said about them being one name at, you know, I'm not even going to repeat it because, you know, it's kind of blasphemous, right? I said that I don't care. You know, I don't care if players say stuff like that to the media, to themselves, in the mirror. Don't care to me. Because as a professional football player, when you get to the top of the top, right? Like these guys are. You need all the motivation in the world. And if that's the seed you want to sow, go ahead. I will not stop you. But one caveat. If you cannot hold that standard, I have the right to ridicule you. As simple as that for me. You know what I mean? That's why I disagreed with Chris. Chris is like, don't say it in the media. Don't say it. I was like, go ahead and say it. Because if you think you're that guy and you could go out there and perform on the level of the gods of football, like the steel curtain and what? And you're mentioning these defenses in your mouth and then you go out and let a team You know, even if it's one of the best offenses in the NFL, put numbers on you like that, I reserve the right to ridicule you. As simple as that. But I'm not going to stop you from saying it because I want you to challenge yourself. You're one of the best players in the NFL, hands down, Reed. All due respect, brother. Do what you do. Say what you want to say. I'm never going to stop you. But you got to hold the standard. And they did not hold the standard against the Dallas Cowboys. So, like I said, defensively, defensive line, show up, man. And y'all better eat the lunch that for the New England Patriots. Eat their lunch. Because the one thing I was wrong about already, which is not something that's a big surprise, but Mac has not looked like I thought he would. You know.
Well, see,
but
that's, he hasn't taken his game to the next level.
No. Down the stretch in his rookie season, this dude looked like he was going to be something. Let's be real. Like, if you remember watching him, I was starting to say, there is app. Come on. Don't tell me they found another one now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because not only was he not making the mistakes, he was making them win. He was taking them down on drives when he needed to. Like, as a rookie quarterback, playing like that is, to me, is an indication of things to come. So that's what I thought until they, you know, came up with the brilliant idea of, you know, furnishing his coaching staff with special team coaches, his offensive staff with special team coaches and defensive coordinators. You know, hey, you know, sounded like some kind of cartoonish thing to me, but that's exactly what happened. And now he's not performing the way that we thought. And not only that, I don't think their defense looked like that scary defense I was talking about either. They're good, like they're supposed to be. You know, they're the Patriots. Of course they play good. You know, but I'm not like scared of them. Like at some point last year, I was like, I don't know. What the hell you do up against this defense? In the first two games, I haven't seen that yet. And again, things get rolling in the NFL. It takes time to kind of get back to game speed. So they might just be, you know, winding up. But for now, I don't see it. So in my opinion, Jets defense, show up. D-line, you better make up for what you did not do last week. Because if you, like Chris said, if you are one of the better defenses in the NFL, show up.
And I think they are. I don't think there's any. I had no doubts. I even said it before. You know, we both said it. They should be top three, at the very least, top three in the league this year as a defense. And you can see that last week. Now, like you said, Dallas does have a really good offense, and I get it. But as a good defense, that's what you're there for. You're there to match up, right? And you know your offense ain't going to score a lot of points. You know that going in. You know you can't expect Zach Wilson to be like Aaron Rodgers and light it up and score 30 points and all that. You know that's not going to happen, at least not right away. Maybe in a few weeks, maybe when things kind of settle down a little bit, the line gels, you know. And to be honest, I think this week, I know it's sounds kind of corny, but I still think the team was a little bit in shock after week one. Because week one went by so fast with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, and then they win. They somehow win that game in overtime, the walk-off punt return win, which was amazing. But I think it was almost like, I don't think it's set in that Rodgers ain't going to be there. You know what I mean? So I think week two, I think that was a little bit on their mind. So I think week three, Patriots, it's going to be a totally different game. I think the O-line is going to show up as well. May not be as good as we think it's going to get to, but it's going to be better than what it has to be better than last week. We have to, let's admit that. I think it's going to be better. I think we're going to see a lot better team at home. Defense is going to show up. There's no way they're giving up a lot of points to that offense. Like you said, if they give up a lot of points to the Patriots, then we can start having conversations about this team, where they're headed, right? So that's how I'm thinking. I'm thinking that they're not giving up 20 points. They're going to give up less than 20 against this team. They're going to be all
over. I agree.
And yeah. I think they're going to get this running. They got to get the running game going. They had, I know the game got a little bit out of hand, but at halftime it was still a close game. And you got Breece Hall only 4 carries and down.
Yeah. 4 carries. That's not going to happen this week.
No.
Breece Hall is not going to just, no, that's just not going
to
happen.
I get easing him in. I get that. But then feed it to Dalvin Cook, feed it to Michael Carter. And if you have to, activate Izzy.
Yeah. Something. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think the Jets running game is a problem. That's not their problem. I think, like I said, I'll go on record and say that I think that's an anomaly. I think we played an anomaly anyway. That's what we did. We played an anomaly.
Well, what do you think of this? Here's another question I wanted to ask you, because I've seen some people popping it up. What do you think of Rucker getting, like, maybe more snaps than, say, Uzama? Because he's such a good blocker.
Not say Uzama, but Dan Uzama. Because Uzama is incredibly not inefficient is the word I was looking for.
He's not as good as a blocker as Rucker, though.
I don't want, like, for one for one, no. One for one, I wouldn't say that Rucker is a better blocker. What's happening is that Uzama will give you 2 good blocks to 3 really bad blocks. Inconsistent. Thank you. That's the word.
Okay.
That's what he looks like. Incredibly inconsistent. And a lot of the times he loses on plays that you know that Rucker could block on, would be better. I think the kid's mentality is different. I think he's young and athletic, and I think it's time to change. I think it's time to change right now. You know what I mean? Because I know they're watching the film. I know they have yeah. Give the kid the chance, man, because when he's out there, he's just sheesh. He got a ton of good plays, man, and you just need to keep putting them on film. I think eventually they're going to have to make the change anyway. So
all right. So let's get to the Patriot Jet game. What do you think? How do you think it's going to go?
I think the Jets could win this game. Not just because the Patriots are 0-2. I think the Patriots, I think they're taking time on the offense. Right now, they cannot rush the ball. They're not rushing the ball well at all. In 2 games, Stevenson has 75 yards. You know what I mean? That's not good. Right. I know I'm not saying that Mac Jones is bad, but I just don't think for what they need right now, he doesn't in the 2 games, I just don't think he's there yet. Now, there's a little promise there, and I will not go too deep into it because I did not watch enough of their film to like have a conclusion to it. But given that it's a new coordinator. And a kind of a, I don't think the scheme is that new, but there's wrinkles to it that's just an O'Brien things that the kid needs to learn. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for that. But overall, that team, the way presently constituted, should not whoop on the Jets defense. The Jets defense should whoop on that offense. That's what should happen. I'm calling it right now. Jets win. Jets run the ball. Hall gets like about 15 carries for the game. He has a couple big runs, not 60 something yards, because against the Patriots, that's kind of hard to do. But I think they dominate in the run game. I think Zach gets a little comfortable, because I don't think that against the Patriots, the right thing to do is go throw the ball down all over the place, because they're too good in playing man coverage for that. But I think the run game on the defense is going to speak loudly and just win.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the Patriots could go 0-3 for the first time in over 20 years under Belichick, which would be amazing.
Crazy.
And I think the Jets know that. I mean, the Jets haven't beaten them in what? I think they're 0-1 the last 14 against the Patriots. We are.
Yeah, so, something like that.
Yeah. They got to break that this week. It has to happen. And looking ahead for the Jets, I mean, the schedule doesn't get any easier, obviously. So yep. They know they got to win this game. You know, there's more pressure. I think as bad as it is for the Patriots, if they go 0-3, I think there's more pressure on the Jets because of their schedule that they have coming up. I mean, they got to win, because you got, after this, you got Kansas City. Okay, then we go to Denver, but then you got Philly right before the bye week. And then after the bye, you got the Giants, which we should beat. But then you got the Chargers. Who knows with that team? So, I think they got to win this game. And I think they will. They have to. The defense has to and will show up. I could see like a 27-10 game Jets win. Because I don't see the Patriots scoring many points. I really don't.
I hate you.
So they got to do it. It's as simple as that. Yep. So we'll see.
I see a 23-10 game, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, so we're kind of on the same boat, you know.
Same boat, yeah.
We're the same. I think we're thinking the same way in that sense. So
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it should be a good rebound game for both offense and defense. Kind of make the fans breathe a little bit easier as well for 1 week. So
we'll yep.
All right, so let's get to the rest of the games.
Yes, sir.
We got Thursday night, the Giants coming off their big, very important comeback victory against the Cardinals the week before. They came back. It was 31-28. I think it was 21-0 at halftime.
And yes, it was.
If they would have lost that game, you talk about because their schedule is just ridiculous these next
yeah. weeks.
And obviously with San Fran coming off, they beat the Rams in a tough game as well, 30-23. So, I mean, this spread's 10, so I'm pretty sure I know where you're going in this game.
Yeah, you know where I'm going. Again, best roster in the NFL. I keep saying it over and over again.
It's ridiculous, you know, how good that team is.
Yeah, they roll out player after player after player after player on so many in so many different positions that it's crazy. Where their elite talent come from. But yeah, the 49ers win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I think San Fran wins big.
And by the way, comment against the Giants. You said if the Giants, it was important, it was an important win. They shouldn't have ever went down 21 points to that team.
No. No, that's...
What?
Right.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
And the Giants offensive line and the Giants defense had to respond. And they did. I'm happy for them. But they can't go into game. There's no other team in the NFL, in my opinion, you could lay down like that in the first half and come back and beat. Not happening.
No, not 21.
So thank God you came back and won that game, man. But I don't know if you have a shot against this team that you're going up against here right now. I mean, show up and play a good game, but
yeah, short week, travel to the West Coast. Yeah, that could get ugly. No Saquon Barkley. So, yeah, it could get ugly. First game up, you got next game up, I should say. Tennessee coming off their win against the Chargers, who
oh my God,
to lose. We say that about them every year.
Chargers going to charge it.
Yeah, they lose 27-24. So Tennessee at Cleveland, and Cleveland comes off their tough loss at Pittsburgh, 26-22. And of course, we could get into a little bit all the major injuries in this league. After just 2 weeks, how many stars have gone down? I mean, Chubb on Monday night, that was gruesome, man.
Yeah, that was really bad, man. Felt for the guy. especially the fact that he kind of basically snapped the same leg that he snapped in college before he got drafted, leading to the 1 year out before he started playing NFL football. That was a gruesome injury. That is the engine by which this Browns offense goes. And it would be interesting to see what the Browns do moving forward. Because their quarterback that they paid a ton of money for, he hasn't been the best. I'm not gonna, like some of the talking heads, you know, kind of crucify him yet.
It's coming. It's coming though, right?
Oh, yeah. If he keeps playing like that, he is gonna be nailed on a cross.
Oh, yeah.
And, but yeah, the turnovers are not gonna help either, man. Like the fact that he had so many turnovers is crazy. Playing loose with the ball, you can't. If you're that guy, you cannot. I understand the offense is not clicking and stuff like that. That stuff is understandable. Playing loose with the football and turning the ball over multiple times like he did is a no-go for me, you know. And you know, I it's interesting to see what they're gonna do moving forward. For the Titans, we know that they will give us these performances here and there because their coach is world class. That's just how it is. The guy could coach. He's a hell of a coach. And even if they're in games where they can't match the talent for talent, their effort and coaching will help them. And it just happened that the coaching and effort just kept them long enough in that, you know, the Chargers did what they normally do. Give away the gift. So they do.
Yep. It's amazing the talent that team has, and they just don't know how to win. I don't know. They know how to lose, and they figure out ways to lose every week, but yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah, Deshaun Watson has to start waking up, man, because listen, I get it. The offense is not clicking, but the quarterback is the guy that makes it click one way or the other. So he's got to figure it out.
Got to figure it out.
A lot in draft pick compensation for him and a lot in his contract as well. Guaranteed money, which was ridiculous, especially for a guy with all the off-the-field stuff that he had. But, he's got to turn it around and turn it around quick.
I think the Browns wins this game.
Yeah.
I think the Browns win this game because I think that offensive line, I think that defensive line will cause havoc to the Titans. I know there were little flashes of that offense because I think Tannehill could do that, man. He is that kind of quarterback where he could just give you, you know, he'll give you, you know, one or two or three plays where you're like, oh, here we go, you know. But I just think the Browns defense is going to show up. And I think the Ford kid, the replacement running back, I think if they give him the ball, I think he could still be very he could still do a really good job being the engine of that offense. Of course, he can't do trouble like thing. They need to bring in somebody to help him with. I think he could do enough. So I'm gonna stick with the Browns winning this game.
Yeah, and they signed Kareem Hunt today. So,
there you go. I didn't see that.
Yeah. And then you got Atlanta coming off their big win against Green Bay, 25-24. They go to Detroit. Now Detroit lost at home to Seattle, 37-31. We're kind of writing off Seattle a little bit there, but they got back into it. But this is an interesting game, man.
Very interesting.
Start winning some games.
Yeah, interesting. I did say that. I said that Atlanta would be a problem for people. And you saw the reason why I said that. If you don't know, the Falcons is going to be one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. Because their coaching staff, that's what they do. You know, they believe very high. They believe very much in running the ball. And with Algier and the new kid that they got in the draft, you put that kind of talent together and you just have such a dynamic running game. Now, if they start putting together a passing game, because they have the kid London, And they have the tight end.
Yeah.
Who is you I don't care. I saw somebody tweet that they said they basically watching London and watching Pitts on the field, you just know that they're elite level players. They just look and move differently from everybody else. Yes. It's true. It's true. It's very simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the quarterback just has to be better. And yeah. But on the Lions side of things, hey man. I understand. Great offense. You know. But if you want to go where you want to go, you better bring the defense too.
Oh yeah.
Bring the defense. Games in, I haven't seen any. Bring the defense.
Yeah, it was supposed to get better, but I think they'll bounce back, Detroit. I don't think they'll lose two straight games at home. So I'll give them a tight win in that one.
I think I agree with you too. I think the Falcons game will probably be keep the ball away from the Lions, run the ball, try to do what Dallas did to the Jets. That's what they're gonna do. But I think they're not as good at implementing a game plan like that. I don't think they're on that level yet. So I think the Lions are. And the Lions will score, and they'll score quickly, and they could put the game out of hand where you're not able to run the ball as much as you want. So yeah, Lions for me.
New Orleans coming off their Monday night victory over Carolina 2017. They go into Green Bay. Green Bay, of course, coming off their loss to Atlanta. We were just talking about them, 25-24. So this should be an interesting game, too. I mean,
interesting game, too. Yeah.
I like Jordan Love. He's looked okay early on.
Yeah.
And maybe he gets his wide receiver back this week, too.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, man. I like what I see from Green Bay and Jordan Love. They have a ways to go still, in my opinion. But I like the way they're going on offense, and you know, the defense is not really there yet. I see sparks in that offense, so I'm not really mad at them. But gotta give the Saints offense pat on the back, because I don't think we saw that coming, did we?
No, they did just enough to win. I don't know if Derek Carr looked great last week.
I don't think he looked great, because he's only thrown one touchdown and two interceptions in two games. So yeah. I wouldn't say that. But if you're telling me the kid Shahid is a monster. Olave, big plays in the passing game. And Thomas hasn't looked bad.
Yeah.
I think that we have a making of a something there. No?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so I'm not, you know, I'm just saying that I think that it's that there's something there, you know, that they could grasp. I think a little on offense, they've looked better than the Packers have. So it'll be an interesting game. The one thing the Packers will have problems doing is moving the ball against that defense. They're just good. You know, they're just good. That defense is very good. And this is going to be a test for Jordan Love. As much as I like the way he's kind of rolling, and I think in a few games, you kind of, you know, give him a little something, but I'm leaning Saints, because I just think that defense is going to cause problems for them.
Okay. I think Green Bay, but yeah, it's going to be a tight game. I don't think it's going to be a big, you know, either way, but I see Green Bay squeaking it out. They're at home, their first home game. New Orleans on the road 2 weeks, second week in a row. Denver 0-2 now after their loss to who did they lose this week to? Oh, Washington at home. And they were up by a lot, too. They lost 35-33. And then they go to Miami, who's 2-0. Miami keeps rolling. They beat New England 24-17 on Sunday night.
Yeah.
What do you think here?
Yeah, man. I don't think the Broncos ain't ready for that. They're not ready. The Dolphins as one of the better teams in the NFL in the first two games in the NFL right now. You could say that the number one ranked defense on offense in the NFL right now. And you're the number one ranked passing game in the NFL right now. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be able to close. No, you can't. I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't.
Dolphins win.
I think Miami.
Dolphins win. Yeah.
Pretty good too.
Yeah.
LA, the this is a good matchup here. Not a good matchup, but ugly. Chargers at both teams 0-2. Both teams could be 2-0, but they're both 0-2 because they are what they are.
Yep. The football gods give us these matchups, man. Every season when I go through the matchups, it's kind of funny how it works out for me. Sheesh, man. Throwing the ball, Kirk Cousins, you know, hey, they Vikings. Let's talk for a second. Why didn't you warn us and tell us that your running back was that bad? That's the reason why you didn't sign him back. Because watching your running game, or lack thereof, the fact that you didn't want to sign this guy back should have indicated to us that something was amiss. And we didn't see it. Well, there was a few people on the internet telling us, No, don't do it. We didn't take it. But anyway, this is all about you, not us. And your running game sucks. That's the reason why you just made a trade for Cam Akers from the Rams. Akers is a very good player, and he's better than what you have now. So I think you'll see a little a rise in that. I think the defense hasn't been as bad as they've been the last couple of years. I think you see a little bit more try hard in their thing, but that's where I think the Chargers are gonna have a problem, because you can't tell me that the names that you list on this, when you look at the Chargers roster, the names you could list off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we get: the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's what we get.
Something is wrong there.
No. And you're not. If you're the worst defense in the NFL, you're not beating the Vikings. The Vikings have probably one of the most dynamic, probably the best wide receiver in the NFL right now on that team, and the guys that are behind him or beside him are formidable enough that I just don't think the Chargers have it in them to stay with that offense. So Vikings win.
Yeah. I think the Chargers. I just think they're a better team. But we'll see. But then again, they'll charge her at some point and probably lose that. I think Dalvin Cook, getting back to Cook for a second, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to give up on him yet. I don't think he's that bad. I don't think he's as bad as we've seen so far, because, yeah, remember, he's coming back from an injury too, right? He had shoulder surgery or whatever in the offseason. He didn't have any camp either. He came in late, all that. So I think we got to give him a few weeks before we, you know, start throwing this guy away.
No, I'm not throwing him away. I'm not. It was all in fun. I don't think he's completely.
I posted it, and, you know, I'm just like, give this guy a break, man. It's his second game. Yeah. We're already like.
It was all in good fun, because I saw what people were writing about him being, he's sucking so bad and all that stuff. Listen, I think everybody knew that we weren't getting the Dalvin Cook of the past, but, you know, I'm not completely sold that you know, it's all done with him.
No, I don't think so either. It's an interesting game, because I think before the season started, we didn't expect Buffalo to be playing at Washington, and Washington being 2-0 at this point, and Buffalo being 1-1. But here we are. Buffalo did bounce back big. Beat the Raiders 38-10, and Washington, we just said, came back and beat Denver in Denver. So what do you think here? Gotta go Buffalo.
It's an interesting game, man, but I gotta go Buffalo, man. Buffalo is just a better. They should be a head and not heads and shoulders, but they should be above Washington at this point. And Washington does not. Who's their quarterback again?
It's Sam Howell.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Buffalo.
Yeah. Houston at 0-2. They lost last week to Indianapolis 31-20 at home. Now they travel to Jacksonville, who's 1-1 now after their victory. I'm sorry, after they lost at home to the Chiefs 17-9. Gotta go Jacksonville, right? They can't lose.
Yeah, they can't lose to the Texans. Especially the way they fought the Chiefs, man. All the things that I said about the Jags in the offseason, I think they displayed that against the Chiefs. I like the Jags win.
We'll be around, man. I think they're going to be a tough team in the playoffs, the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis at 1-1 after they lost last week. They beat the Texans last week. And they go to Baltimore, who's 2-0. Baltimore.
Now, last week, I kind of said that the offense, so-and-so, whatever I said, forget it, erase what I said. I like it. Now, again, like I told Chris offline, I had kind of a challenging week. I wasn't able to watch as much as I wanted to, but what I could catch, I was a little impressed with Lamar Jackson and what they seem to be wanting to do. Love it. And yeah, so MVP Lamar might be back.
Lamar's
we'll see.
Quarterback.
Yeah, he ball comes out on time, accurate, quick release, a lot of stuff, man. A lot of good looking stuff too.
Yep.
I was impressed with what I saw.
Yeah. Carolina at 0-2, traveling to Seattle, who's 1-1 after that big victory against the Lions on the road. So they're finally home.
Yeah, that's not a matchup, man. Yeah. Seattle wins.
Yep. I think so too. I think Carolina goes 0-3. And this is another not a great matchup, especially with the news. Chicago 0-2 traveling to Kansas City at 1-1. And Chicago's DC stepped down today for whatever reasons, for personal reasons. I guess we're going to talk about this, but there was a bunch of rumors that the FBI was involved and all that. But I think we're going to find out more information, I'm sure, in the coming days. But anyway, Bears 0-2. And Fields also, too, did an interview where they had asked him, why are you struggling and all that? And he mentioned the coaches, and then he kind of retracted that. So,
yeah, if I were him, I would do the same. His transition into an NFL quarterback is kind of taking us is really slow right now. It's he's plateaued and probably regressed at certain things. I think he's just, people are saying he's not seeing the field. I think Dan Orlovsky, who I like how he explains offensive concepts in football, made a point that, he is not that he doesn't understand where he should go with the ball, but trusting it is a different thing. I've said it before. It's hard. It's hard. The transition of understanding what you've studied and knowing where the ball is supposed to go and all that stuff is fine. But being able to pull that trigger and trusting what you see is a different thing. Especially if you're having, you know, you're not trusting your offensive line and all the other stuff that they're going on with right now. I think, I just think they're not ready. They're not ready to play a game on a team like the Chiefs right now. So,
yeah, that's like the worst team you could play with all this turmoil going on. So this game could get Dallas at 2-0, of course, coming up their victory against us. And they travel to Arizona, who's 0-2 after their choke job against the Giants.
We're not going to spend time talking about that team or that game.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to be an ugly one.
Sunday night, we got Pittsburgh coming off their big victory against the Browns at 1-1 now. Travel to Vegas to try to play the Raiders, who they're coming off an ugly loss at Buffalo.
Steelers win. Steelers win.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Raiders. At least you know with Pittsburgh, you know they're going to come at you.
Yeah. The pass rush is up there. The talent on wide receiver, you saw Pickens and Pickett connection for a long touchdown. Something you'll see a lot more of this season, I think. So
I tell you what,
I like where the Steelers are going.
Watching the Steeler game, that other running back I like a lot, Warren.
Yes. I remember
better than Najee, actually.
Yeah. I will tell you that NFL films, great. Man, I forget his name. Older NFL guy. For some reason, his name is not coming to me right now. I listened to him in the offseason, and one of the names that kept coming out of his mouth was Warren. And so I went to watch him, and I was freaking surprised. I was like, okay, wow. So, yeah, I kind of saw that coming. And to me, too, that there were things about Najee's game that had been kind of taking a step. I don't understand what's going on with him. Close. I don't.
Right? Like, I don't know. He hasn't had any explosive runs yet that I've seen. Like, a lot of short runs. Nothing. I don't see an explosive back that I've seen in college.
I agree with you.
Warren, you see it. When that kid's got the ball, you could see he's like ready to take off whenever he gets the ball. So, I don't know. I think we're going to see a little more of Warren in the next few weeks. But that's the Sunday night game. And again, there's two Monday night games, which is strange. I didn't like how they overlapped, but
didn't like it either.
Yeah. But the earlier game is Philadelphia coming off their victory on Thursday night against Minnesota. They play at Tampa, and Tampa's 2-0 right now. Surprising.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most impressive victories, but they're 2-0, right? They beat Chicago 27-17. So what do you think?
Yeah, Eagles win. Eagles win.
The game.
Bucks will put up a fight, but Eagles win.
And the other Monday night game is the Rams at 1-1. They lost last week against the 49ers at home. And they traveled to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 0-2. And Burrow, I don't know if he's playing or not this week. Because they said he might have re-injured the calf the week before. So, I don't know. This is a scary game for the Bengals. You don't want to go 0-3.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility they go 1-3. Because I just think the Rams are like, they're basically, have you watched some of those highlights?
Yeah, that wide receiver is good, man, for the Rams.
Yeah, everybody passed on him. Just happens once in a while. Yeah.
Nakua?
Yeah.
Not right, but.
Yeah, second ranked offense in the NFL after two games. And second ranked defense. Sixth ranked defense. Third ranked passing game. So yeah. they're playing well on offense, and they're playing well on defense. So they're playing complete team.
And this is without Cooper Kupp too.
Thank you. So yeah. The Bengals better get your stuff together.
You don't want to go 0-4.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not cooking them because I don't think they're done. I seriously don't. I think that the possibility that they still become that monster that they are supposed to will happen. You know, I don't think it's something that's gonna, you know, I don't think, because I think that team is just too stacked, man. They are, really are. So I'm not, so even if they go 1-3, man, I'm not gonna give up on them.
No, but you know the Bengals, they also started off slow last year.
Yep.
Right? And this is where, see, this is where, okay, they still might end up being in the playoffs. Like you said, we're not giving up on them. No, they're still a really good team. But this is where, at the end of the year, when you go to the playoffs, you're going on the road in the playoffs because you started off.
Well, that's what they've done. They went when they went to the Super Bowl. What they do?
Right, it was all on the road.
There you go.
But the next two were on the road, and last year they beat Buffalo on the road, but then they lost to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure they're gonna have to go to at least one of those teams again if they don't get home field advantage. You know, it's probably gonna be Kansas City. It's probably gonna be Buffalo. You know, Jacksonville, maybe they might have to go to Jacksonville this year. So that's the problem with starting off slow, because now you're playing catch up the rest of the season, and you know, now you still might get to the playoffs, you still might get a wild card, but that's the whole thing. Now you're gonna be on the road in the playoffs, and you gotta go to Kansas City. You gotta win at Kansas City, at Buffalo. Maybe even at one of your divisional teams now. Baltimore's playing great. You might have to go to Baltimore in that game. So
yeah, I agree.
That's
I agree. If you not gonna open the season with a good win, it may just makes your chances of going taking the long ride all the way to the Super Bowl that much harder. I agree. But that does not make it less true that we think, and we're correct in stating that we think that they still might be in the running of things in the playoffs when time comes.
They got to win some, you know, they got to get going. So let's see if they do it.
They got to do. Yep.
They do have to get going. Let's see if Burrow even plays. See. But that's your preview for week 3. Enjoy the games. Hopefully we got a victory coming on Sunday against the Patriots. But enjoy the games, and we will talk to you guys next week.